man. Good morning, church. All right. How's everybody doing? Awesome. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. We're going to get there in a minute. And boy, Jesus will fix it. Now, you know, when you hear that, sometimes you think, well, all my problems will go away. Not exactly. He fixes our salvation and gives us a right relationship with God. He gives us peace. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us His church. But you still got to pay your bills. And if you want to lose some weight, you got to sweat and exercise. But when it comes to all spiritual things, Jesus can fix it. Again, if you're visiting, we want to welcome you to the New Jersey region of the New York City Church of Christ. Thank you for coming to worship with us. Chris Armstrong did a great job this morning. That was great. I don't ever want to get what he got through my veins and in my heart. But, you know, this September marks the 26th year in Christ for me next week. And it's amazing to think it's gone by this fast. You know, but then you think about this year. Today is the 18th of September, which means there's 12 days left in the month. When October gets here, we got 91 days left in 2016. It makes you feel like things are going fast, or I'm getting older. But, you know, it makes me thank God, because I remember where I was 26 years ago. I remember what my life was like. I remember what my family was like. And it wasn't very encouraging. But I'm so grateful to God. I'm so grateful He answers prayers. I'm so thankful that He fulfills His promises. I'm thankful for my wife, who, you know, has been faithful to me and helped me throughout all of these years, even at age 15. I'm thankful for my friends, and I don't want to get into naming everybody because I got a lot of friends, but I know if it weren't for you, my life would not be the way it is. And good friends are very hard to find, but not in God's kingdom. I thank you for your example. I thank you for showing me how to persevere, showing me how to be married and appreciate differences. A couple taught me that. Thank the Lord for it. But I thank you for showing us how to budget, how to raise kids. Everything in my life that's good has come from God and His people. But, you know, when you think about becoming a Christian, this is a lifetime decision. When I was 20 years old, I did not even think about being 46. And who makes lifetime decisions at 20? I'm doing this for the rest of my life. That's why it's so impressive when you see teenagers become disciples and stay faithful to God. You know, as we begin the fall of 2016, I want to encourage us this morning to look at Jesus. Because it wasn't until I looked at Jesus that everything in my life changed. And maybe you're feeling dull. Maybe you're feeling uninspired. Maybe you're feeling not so fired up. Well, this morning, I want you to look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we are so grateful that you sent your Son, who is the exact representation of you. I pray this morning as we study your word that you move in a powerful way. Help us see the things we need to see. Help us understand your plan. And Father, help us follow in your footsteps. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now that's probably about 130 miles. Took about 6 days for him to travel from Jerusalem to Damascus. This guy's serious. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city. You will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias! Yes, Lord. Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Now, I don't know how he found out that information. I know they didn't have internet back then. But Saul's on his way, and Ananias already knew what Saul was coming to do. Spirit. Spirit. Verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And so we'll come back to that. But this is such an amazing story. And we see some key characters in the story. We see Ananias. Well, I'm sorry, before we do that, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So we see Saul, who was a murderous man, and then he becomes a Christian. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Now listen to Saul, who now has become Paul. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. What a transformation. He went from murdering Christians to now saving souls. You know, if you look at that before and after picture, that's pretty drastic. That's pretty powerful. Well, now let's look at what happened between there. Are you with me, church? Something happened between what we saw about Paul and then what he ultimately became. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In verse 10. It says, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. You know, Ananias was a disciple. Do we have any disciples in the auditorium this morning? I love it. Okay. Come on, technology. Ananias didn't have an official title. Ananias wasn't an elder. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a deacon. He was a disciple. Just like you and I. Just like you and I. And God used this man to help Saul become Paul. He used this man who ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament for us to read today. This simple disciple. God had a vision. Ananias caught the vision. Ananias brought into God's vision. And then he followed God's plan. And something amazing happened. He helped one of the most influential men in the Bible become a Christian. Hey, disciples, guess what? God has chosen you. And he's given you his message. Because he wants you to be a chosen instrument to find the other chosen instruments that don't realize that they're chosen to share the good news. And to help people like Paul, who was sincere, who was religious, who was zealous, come to see the truth. And it had nothing to do with how much knowledge he had. Now, we do know in Acts 22, it says that he was a devout believer and observer of the word. And it also says that everybody, the Jews in that area, respected him. Ananias practiced what he preached. And people around him saw it. They saw it. But just like God chose Ananias, God's chosen you. And he's given you his message. My first point this morning is God's plan is man. You and I, that's right, you are the plan. You, disciple, are the plan. You're equipped with the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. We got DPI. Well, DPI doesn't exist anymore. IPI. We're equipped with everything that we need for life and godliness. But guess what? There's some things we got to constantly be reminded of. You remember that scripture back in Luke 9:23? Ananias practiced that scripture. You know what it says there? Whoever wants to be my disciple must what? Deny themselves and take up their cross every other week when we feel like it? No. It says daily and follow him. Like Ananias, we must do the same, and we must get ourselves out of the way so that God can take over, that God can control us, that God can direct us so that his will gets done. It's really amazing. Oh, I thought that picture would come out better. Anyway. Here's a picture of devotion. Now, you can't totally see it, but that's Russ McLaughlin and his wife. Yeah. Russ is a faithful man of God. But Russ has got lots of health issues. Heart issues. He's waiting for kidneys. I was like, wow. We went out to speak to the Poconos one day, and he insisted on being at church. It was 100 degrees out, and I was the only one sitting there sweating, and Russ was sitting there listening to the word. And he said, I got to be at church. I got to hear the word. That inspired, that's devotion. That's love for God. That is discipleship. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I love my God. I love that. You know, we got many disciples here who deny themselves every day. And sometimes you think what you're doing is not making a difference. I want to encourage you. Don't grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Amen, church? You know, but Ananias brought into God's vision partly because he put his thoughts and his feelings to the side. I mean, imagine Jesus comes, says, I want you to go study with Saul. Okay, is that the same guy who was causing havoc and killed Stephen? I don't think he's open, Jesus. See, we get afraid, don't we? Right? I know sometimes I get afraid and I start thinking, okay, what is this guy going to say? What is he going to think about me as I say, hey, how you doing? And invite him out to church. And so sometimes I say nothing. And there goes that guy. That could have been the next Apollos. But I'd never know. Because I was too afraid to open my mouth. See, it's amazing what happens when we stop and we surrender. Or maybe, man, I had a long day at work. I'm home and I'm tired. And I don't want to basically come outside anymore. And God's like, hey, no, go to Home Depot. There's a guy waiting in aisle 16 that's looking for screws like you're looking for screws to fix that project that you've been putting off. But go! He's there waiting for you. But because we feel what we feel, sometimes we chill. And we miss the opportunity. Aren't you glad Ananias didn't go by how he felt? Aren't you glad he just... I know Saul's glad that he obeyed Jesus, and look at what happened. Brothers and sisters, God's plan is man. You, and you are the plan. And he wants to use you, and he wants to use me. God will work through us if we don't limit him with our small and sometimes narrow thinking. It's got to be this way. It's got to be that way. No. Let's just do it God's way. Are you with me, church? You know, it's funny. One of the other things that gets us in trouble sometimes is our thinking. We'll think, well, he's not open. She's not open. How do we know that? We don't. We don't know. So let's not kind of judge people. Let's just share as much as we can because we never know what God's ready to do. God says, God's plan is man. Secondly, God's word is the way. Let's dive back here into the story, but I want to go to Acts 22. Let's look in Acts 22. Are you with me, church? I'm going to tie this up. Acts 22, verse 10. So, Paul is now recounting his story in front of, you know, the kings and he's talking about his conversion. And look at what he says in verse 6. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a light bright from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Let's skip down to verse 10. He says, what shall I do, Lord? get up and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. So Paul listens to Jesus and he, you know, tells him, do this, do that, go here, go there. And he does it. Then he's, you know, and earlier he tells him, hey, this guy Ananias is going to come. He's going to touch your eyes. You know, you're going to, the scales are going to fall off your eyes. But then if you skip down to verse 15, it says, you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. You know, before Saul, or before Paul became Saul, he had to personally be met and talked to by Jesus. Now, I want us to think about this for a second. In Saul's mind, who was Jesus? Jesus was a dead man in Paul's mind. Jesus was disgraced and hated in Paul's mind. And he was now coming to destroy what this Jesus had done. And now as he's coming to Damascus, who shows up? Jesus. And for the first time, Paul hears something that knocks him off his horse. He hears those words. I am Jesus. I don't know about you, but in 2002, I experienced the most frightening thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And that was seeing a full-grown lion up close and personal. I say that because I was so scared, I didn't know what to say. I literally was like, oh my goodness. If we opened the door and stepped out, we would have stepped on his tail. But the eerie thing is that I knew I was in the presence of something great and powerful that could eat me. I want you to look at this. See how close we are? You want to get that close to a lion? I used to say, yeah, I want to hear him roar. Oh, no, I don't. I don't want to hear him roar. I don't want him mad. I don't want... Eerie. You know, I can only imagine when Saul heard, I am Jesus. Wait, you are dead. No, I'm not dead. I'm very much alive. Right, church? Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He came out of the tomb. And he's alive. See, Saul had an experience that changed his life forever. He never looked back because he met the real Jesus. And when you meet the real Jesus, you can't be the same. When you hear the message of the cross, you can't go back. You know too much. And when you understand his love for you, it's undeniable. You know, in this passage we see Saul miraculously knocked off his horse. He acknowledges Jesus is Lord. He obeys him. He prays. He's fast for 3 days. After he realizes he's been persecuting God's people. However, none of that realization forgave him or saved him. He wasn't forgiven and saved until He was baptized into Christ. You know, there's a prominent false doctrine being taught literally all over the world. It's a church website. Biggest churches in California. Let me read it to you. Salvation is a gift from God to man. Man can never make up for his sins by self-improvement or good works. Only by trusting in Jesus Christ as God's offering of forgiveness can man be saved from sin's penalty. Eternal life begins the moment one receives Jesus Christ into his life by faith. Well, what about baptism? And here's what they have written on their website. Well, baptism by immersion symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and is your public declaration that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Baptism does not save you, but shows the world that you've already been saved. And while baptism is not required for salvation, it is a biblical command and demonstrates your love and obedience to Christ. If we look at Saul's conversion, what we just read in the Bible, we see that this doctrine is false. Saul came to faith when Jesus knocked him down off the horse, but that didn't save him. Saul prayed and he fasted for 3 days, but that didn't save him. Saul did a whole lot of things, but not until we hear Ananias tell him, "And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." Saul was forgiven when he was baptized in water, not before. And as disciples of Christ, we got to be clear in our minds and understand this is a false teaching, and many people believe it. The problem with that, too, is you can go back in history. That doctrine came to be in the early 1900s. It's a man-made thing. But when you look at the scriptures, what do you see? What do you see? When I asked my friend who believed this, I said, "Show me that in the Bible." He couldn't find it because it's not in there. Brothers and sisters, friends, how does Saul's conversion match with what you were taught about salvation growing up? If it doesn't match, you got an awesome opportunity to fix it. If it does match, boy, we got an awesome opportunity to help other people come out of darkness and into the light. You know, in a few minutes, we're going to witness another teen being baptized into Christ. Today, Sam Cruz is going to become our brother in Christ. And his mother, Gloria, is a sister in the Latin ministry. You know, if you're a disciple this morning, I want to encourage you to imitate Ananias. Realize God wants to use you to take his message, not just to our families and friends, but to the world. Because you never know who God's put on your path. And if you're not a disciple, I want to encourage you to imitate Saul. You know what Saul did? Saul asked some great questions. Who are you? I'm sure we got questions. I'll never forget studying with my cousin. He came with 35 questions. And Cedric answered all of them with the Bible. With the Bible. It was awesome. When you get your questions answered, then there's clarity. Then there's conviction. Now you got reasons to do what God wants. Saul became Paul because he believed and lived these words. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Let's say that together. "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To God be the glory. Amen.